Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Monday, December 21st, and we are getting you locked on to the start of the NBA season so that you can be locked in with pure excitement as the Memphis Grizzlies start their 2020-2021 regular season against the Spurs, welcoming the Spurs to Memphis in a little over 2 days, a little over 48 hours from now. And there's plenty of reason to be excited, and we're going to have you covered throughout the entire NBA season. One of the biggest things about it is that this is the start of many, many months of competitive basketball, basketball that counts, and getting to watch on a nearly every night basis one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, this podcast app on your phone, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen, we are there. And in today's episode, we're going to break down the preseason, look at some interesting numbers, a lot of encouraging developments, a few things that, you know, come to mind that we may want to see, you know, potentially tweaked. Of course, the coaching staff knows a lot more than us, but just a few things we're interested to see how it develops. In the second segment, we'll talk about the roster and how a mixture of both structure and the ability to customize could work in the Grizzlies' favor going into the start of the season. And in the third segment, we'll go a little bit in-depth as to how today was another feather in the cap for the Grizzlies' front office when it comes to the extensions league-wide for some young players around the NBA. But let's get right into it. So the preseason, obviously, the Grizzlies go 3-1. They were able to get victories over Minnesota on opening night, or the first night of the preseason. Two very convincing victories, one against Minnesota and one against Atlanta. And then in the fourth and final game, they lost 117-116. Atlanta came back in the fourth quarter. However, the Grizzlies, I believe, were up by like 15-16 with the you know, main rotation pieces, you know, playing. So don't take too much of that. It would have been nice to finish the preseason 4-0, but heck, those wins don't count anyway. So, but a lot of interesting stats, a lot more, in my opinion, relevant stats other than just the Grizzlies 3-1 record. And the fact remains is that the great part about the Grizzlies, you know, in general, their production during the preseason was their offense as a whole. The offense led by Ja Morant just seemed to be locked in, for lack of a better term, and they were able to perform quite well during the preseason. For the preseason, the Grizzlies were fourth in points in the NBA, averaging 118.5 points per game in the preseason. In terms of three-point field goals during the preseason, as we talked about, the Grizzlies were in the bottom third, between 23rd and 25th when it came to three-point production last year in a lot of different metrics. Well, during the preseason, they made the sixth most three-pointers per game in the league. They were actually tied for six, making 15 three-pointers per game. And the thing about it was that's just not a lot of quantity. You know, we saw one game where the Grizzlies were 19 for 50 from three. I can't remember the last time that the Grizzlies shot 50 threes in a game that was, you know, played 48 minutes of regulation. But they also were 14th in the league in three-point percentage. So, you know, the quality certainly was there versus the quantity. Last year, again, in the bottom third when it comes to shooting frequency as well as, you know, three-point percentage. But this year, 6th and 3-point percentage, 14th sixth in the amount of free throws made per game, and 14th in three-point accuracy during the preseason. Certainly an indication of improvement from up and down the roster that the Grizzlies truly do need, especially with being without Jaren Jackson Jr. when it comes to the start of the season. In terms of rebounds, the Grizzlies were right there, eighth. You know, surprisingly, you know, they were one of the better rebounding teams in terms of quantity last season. And again, just like last year, the Grizzlies, you know, average right at 28 assists per game. Just another really big indication. In all the media sessions that we've heard Taylor Jenkins talk about, the big thing for him in the preseason, or before the preseason started and during the preseason, was playmaking. And that was one of the first stats that he alluded to every game, averaging nearly 30 assists a night. Big thing for the Grizzlies, though, as well, is that they also were 18th in turnovers per game, which in and of itself, they were 18th in turnovers per game. They averaged 18 turnovers per game, probably a bit higher than you might like to think. Last year, they averaged 15 turnovers a game, so the Grizzlies probably need to knock four or five turnovers off that average going into the regular season, but they also were able to make up for it because they were fourth in steals. Now, they averaged nearly 11 steals per game. The thing about these preseason games is they're probably a bit exaggerated because teams were, you know, playing players that they usually wouldn't. Things were sloppy, especially at the beginning of the preseason. You're probably seeing more shots and threes, attempted than you usually would. So take these stats for a grain of salt, but it is, again, encouraging to see the Grizzlies up in the league averages so high, you know, in a lot of these categories. But they were, the Grizzlies were fourth in the NBA in steals, and when it comes to blocks, they were also fourth in blocks. So like we talked about after the preseason game, the Grizzlies' ability to make plays that will lead to turnovers and get them on the fast break, that really needs to emerge as a strength of their defense. And as you can see, top five in steals and blocks this preseason is a big indication that the Grizzlies are really focusing on their playmaking ability on defense to get the fast break going on offense, to put them in the best position to make the most of their opportunity. However, another area where the Grizzlies did struggle again, though they improved a little bit, they were 20th in the league when it came to fouls per game. Of course, we know that in a couple of preseason games, there were some ticky-tack fouls, you know, as the players have described them. So still, you know, a bit of an improvement, but still, you know, 20th in the league. So overall, the Grizzlies, you know, in the top five or top 10, you know, in many categories, points, three-point production, steals, and blocks, getting it done on both ends of the court and getting it done through contributions from a lot of different players. But as you remember, a week ago or so, you know, I went through a stretch of shows where I talked about areas that the Grizzlies really needed to improve when it came to their ability to take that next step to establish themselves as a legitimate potential playoff contender with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow out, and that was production at the three-point line on both ends. Well, this is the thing about the Grizzlies' production when it comes to that. In terms of Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton, and Grayson Allen, the four players who really are going to need to step up and likely get tons of looks per game. You could possibly see an average of 15 looks over those four players each game that the Grizzlies play. They shot 48% from three on 79 attempts. Nearly 20 attempts a game, and they made just under half of them. Now, I don't think that that's going to consistently be the case. But if that, you know, if that foursome of players can make anywhere close, if they can make anywhere close to 38 to 40% of their catch-and-shoot threes, which the majority of those 15 or so shots per game from beyond the arc will be, if they can make close to 40% of those, that's going to be a big, big boost to the Grizzlies' offense. And it's really going to emphasize another wrinkle that we obviously saw Taylor Jenkins tried to implement during the preseason. So that is a big, big stat for them. Obviously, though, another big stat is that on nearly 157 attempts, in fact, on nearly 40 attempts per game through four preseason games, from what I counted, 157 total attempts by their opposition, the Grizzlies only allowed 30.6% of threes to be made. That's right. Only 30.6% of the 157 threes attempted versus the Grizzlies this preseason were made. And that is just a huge, huge development for Memphis. If they can any way, shape, or form can get to even league average when it comes to defending the three, that's going to be a big development. Obviously, you would like for them to, you know, knock the fouls down a little bit. Also, though, the three-point production on offense is wonderful, and you certainly want to get as many high-percentage, you know, looks from three as you can. Continuing to focus on opportunities at the rim, especially with Brandon Clark. In my opinion, there were some plays where Brandon Clark was standing in the corner, you know, he was standing in the corner as a potential outlet for a high percentage look at three, and he made a few of them. But I also don't want for that to overtake Brandon Clark's ability to dominate inside, where we know he is so effective, especially if he's going to be on the bench. That right there gives you a high floor avenue if the threes are not falling. So yes, while Brandon Clark can go back to that, my hope is that he's not spending the majority of his possessions in the corner waiting for an open shot when he could easily go in and get a high percentage two on a consistent basis from his floater, ability to finish on lobs, ability to be able to get to the basket with his quick first step. I just don't want for that element of Brandon Clark's game to be taken away from him. But overall, there's not very much to complain about. There's plenty to be positive about, and that's the thing that the Grizzlies really wanted to accomplish this preseason. They wanted to go into the regular season with more positives to negatives sticking out when the team watched them play. And as you can see, many across the NBA, especially on Twitter, are looking at the Grizzlies as being one of the potential surprise teams. Even after surprising last year, being one of the surprise clear playoff contenders this season in the NBA. I still think it's a bit far-fetched. I still think that the Grizzlies are going to need some things to fall in place that they can't control. But obviously, if they have taken significant step forwards in their ability to shoot the three, defend the three, and limit mistakes, as I mentioned, you know, in the show last week, that'll be a big boost towards their efforts. And this preseason gave plenty of indication that that definitely could be a reality. So we know about their production, but what is the realistic expectations of this roster? How will Taylor Jenkins likely utilize both his first and second units when it comes to the opponents that he faces? Coming up, we'll take a look at where several players could find their place in the rotation. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So many different games when it comes to football. You've got the playoff picture becoming clear over the final 2 weeks of the regular season in the NFL. So many different storylines that could potentially allow for you to profit off them in specific matchups. You also got one of the best times of the year to place bets, and that's college football season. While there are plenty of things that are out of a lot of teams' control, there are plenty of things that could determine who could surprise as a very profitable bet in their current matchups. So make sure to watch the schedule and make sure to look at all the lines from betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit betonline.ag. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers, working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Coming up on Wednesday, my good friend from Locked On Spurs, Jeff Garcia. I've had the pleasure of doing a few shows before the bubble and during the offseason with him when it comes to Locked On Spurs. He will once again be joining us for the season preview. The Southwestern Division is going to be very interesting. It could work out a lot of different ways for all five teams, and two of those teams especially being the Grizzlies and the Spurs. So a lot to look forward to with Jeff Garcia from Locked On Spurs on Wednesday's episode. But obviously, when it comes to the Grizzlies, you know, the big thing is that, yes, there were a lot of positive, encouraging signs from the Grizzlies' preseason games. But the big thing is that the roster still is something that's not necessarily in flux, but it's kind of still a mystery as to how the Grizzlies are going to slot five people out in their starting lineup come Wednesday night. Well, the thing about it is this, and I think that this is the case across the NBA. Starting lineups are certainly important, but they also don't necessarily matter as much as they used to. Because it used to be that, you know, it was simple. The five best talents that you have at their, you know, preferred positions are the ones that start. And that's likely the lineup that ends as well. Well, with Taylor Jenkins and many coaches around the NBA, that's not necessarily the case. With statistics out there, with film out there, with it, just the advancements in being able to scout your opponent, it's unlikely that you're going to use many, say, it's unlikely that many games in a row you'll be using the same lineup to close out games. And so that's the important thing to remember. I think it's pretty clear that the four, you know, starters that we're going to see on a regular basis until Justice and Jaren come back are Jonas Valanciunas at the five, Kyle Anderson at the four. You're going to see Dylan Brooks at the three, and Ja Morant, obviously, at the point guard position. And that's fine. There's a lot of potential two-way versatility. You've seen some shooting improvement from Kyle and Dylan, as well as some playmaking ability from Dylan, as well as some rebound ability and his great defensive play as well from Kyle. And Jonas and Ja are who they are. But the big question is, who's going to get that starting two-guard spot for the Grizzlies? Well, as we saw in the preseason, Grayson Allen started three games while DeAnthony Melton started one. Well, the big thing about that is that the takeaway from that is that you look at it and you say, okay, this kind of makes sense. This goes along with the trends that we've seen with Taylor Jenkins, where he highly prefers shooting, and that's fine. It does make sense. Grayson Allen being in the starting lineup gives the Grizzlies those multiple shooting threats that they need to really be able to combat the opposition when it comes to shooting threes. But the thing about it is this, is that Grayson Allen truly looked his best when he was coming off the bench. The Grizzlies' offense arguably had their best start to a game, or the starters had their overall best game when DeAnthony Melton started. And I think the reason why that is because DeAnthony Melton adds good net value when he's on the court. Plus, he obviously gives you another significant defensive presence, you know, when the Grizzlies are going to be facing some teams that are successful shooting from the perimeter. So in my opinion, I think that if you just had to go with the structured lineup, it would be DeAnthony Melton at the starting two-guard position, but I definitely could see the advantage of starting Grayson versus DeAnthony Melton sometimes as well. But one big reason why I do feel that DeAnthony Melton makes sense to start at the two is for the same reason that I think that it makes sense for Kyle Anderson to start at the four, though I would start Brandon Clark. The reason why the Grizzlies are going with those two is because you've got two-way potential, you've got a high floor that contributes in a lot of different areas, plus you have the ability of hoping that encouraged shooting could come from it. Now, the Grizzlies could try that lineup of Ja, Melton, Dylan, Anderson, and Valanciunas for two or three games at starters, and they just don't have the shooting to keep up. At that point, you've got to make adjustments. But if Melton and Anderson and Dylan himself can take the next steps with their shooting, or at least when it comes to their shot selection, that allows for the Grizzlies to really, really have one of the deeper and more quality benches in the NBA. You heard me talk about it all offseason, or if you read my work over at Grizzly Bear Blues, I mentioned it so many times. The Grizzlies get a big boost from having one of the best benches in the NBA. Well, now through their draft picks and through health, they may have even more talents in the NBA, and that doesn't include Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton eventually coming back off the bench once Justice and Jaren are there. But a big reason why starting Melton and allowing Grayson to come off the bench helps out is because of the potential second unit that you can run. Now, especially against Minnesota, we saw Taylor Jenkins experiment a little bit with a four-guard lineup. Well, if Melton's going to be starting, what you could see the Grizzlies do in terms of taking advantage of the shooting talents that they have is this. You start Tyus at the one. You start Grayson at the two. You start Desmond Bain at the three. You start Brandon Clark potentially at the four. And then you also start Gorgui Dieng at the five. But for that four-guard lineup, what may make the most sense is actually starting John Concher potentially at that four spot and letting Brandon Clark man the middle. Now, that's going to be a very small unit. And against very good reserve big men, that may be something that you don't, that's where you customize and put Gorgui in. But that potential four guard lineup with Tyus and with Grayson and with Bain, potentially John Concher and Brandon Clark, that could be something that we could do. Or you could go with the more traditional lineup of Gorgui, Brandon Clark, Bain, Allen, and Tyus Jones. But you have customization. And the great thing about it is that at the end of the day, whatever you do in the front court, if you want to go with the four-guard lineup or go with two traditional bigs, the ability to have the trio of Bane, Allen, and Tyus Jones with their catch-and-shoot ability as well as their natural shooting ability to support Brandon Clark and whoever else is in the game, that is a problem for second units in the NBA. There is a lot of good catch and shoot potential, as well as a lot of good playmaking, underrated playmaking on that unit, especially when it comes to getting Tyus free for his shots. So if the Grizzlies were to start Melton, they actually would put their bench in a position to where it could even be stronger than it was last year because of the fact that it has significantly more three-point potential. And that's a way for if the starters have just been outplayed by the other team's starters, It's a way for the Grizzlies to catch up. If the Grizzlies are in a close game, it's a way for them to be able to pull ahead further. And if they are leading by a big margin, it's a way to sustain that lead. But that's what I am most excited about when it comes to this potential opportunity to start Melton in the starting lineup. It's the trio of Grayson Allen, Desmond Bane, and Tyus Jones being there to support the legendary efficient play of Brandon Clark. And that right there already puts you nine deep in your rotation with four very encouraging players off your bench. And that depth and the quality of that depth is a huge advantage for a Grizzlies team that needs all the advantages it can get going into the regular season in pursuit of the playoffs. But before we get to the season, today, for things off the court, we saw extensions across the league. Though the Grizzlies have not necessarily been involved themselves, how today was truly another feather in the cap for this roster, this front office, and this franchise. You've heard us talk about it all year long, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a versatile addition to your day. Have it in the morning for breakfast, have it in the afternoon for snacks, have it before or after a workout, whatever works for you. But the great thing about Built Bar is that it had 12 delicious flavors from you to choose from. Well, now if you visit BuiltBar.com, 18 delicious flavors, including some cool holiday theme ideas that really are tasty. And the great thing about it is that if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and you put in the promo code Locked On, that's the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. However, I can tell you with confidence that if you order from BuiltBar.com, it will be a part of your day for years to come. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get your podcasts. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I was very lucky to have the chance to speak with Nate Duncan, one of the foremost analytical minds in this sport, along with John Hollinger. And anytime that you read John Hollinger's works, or you get the chance to, either speak or, follow the perspective of Hollinger or Duncan, it instantly makes you understand the game better. And for those of us who crave basketball and have a passion for it, anytime you get to learn new things about it by just simply listening to two great minds analyze the game, it's an absolute treasure. So check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast any way you can here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So obviously, today has been a pretty exciting day across the NBA. It's felt like another free agency bonanza, but this time around, it's looking to get deals done with next year's restricted free agents, and we've seen big commitments to names such as OG Anunoby, Luke Kennard, Markelle Fultz, Jonathan Isaac, Derek White. But the great thing about it is that though a lot of those deals right now probably look like overpayments, but they're made towards talents who truly could not necessarily make them bargains, but make those contracts worthwhile. But using the Derek White extension as an example, the great thing about it is that when you compare what he just got on the market versus what the Grizzlies have in their backcourt, it's astonishing. Derek White is getting paid 4 years and $73 million potentially over the next 4 years. Between Dylan Brooks on his 3-year $35 million contract and the Anthony Melton on his 4-year $35 million contract, they're getting paid $70 million combined over the next 4 years, potentially, if nothing goes wrong. But that's the great thing about it, is that I don't think that many people, including myself, would trade Dylan Brooks and DeAnthony Melton right now for Derek White. Though I think that Derek White probably has the most potential and has the best ability to add two-way value than Melton or Dylan individually. However, the thing is that combined together, those two options make less than Derek White is a great deal. And that's not sitting there bad-mouthing the Derek White deal. It has the potential to be a valuable signing. But the Grizzlies, with Melton signed to what he is and Dylan signed to what he is, that truly is amazing for this front office. Now, at the time, I talked about it. I did not have much faith that Dylan Brooks was going to be worth this contract just from what we saw. And, the streakiness of his play, both in the bubble and to finish out the regular season before it was suspended, kind of gave evidence to that. But if Dillon can truly take a step forward this year with his defense limiting mistakes passing, then he becomes an absolute bargain. And of course, we know DeAnthony Melton on his deal has the good potential to become a bargain, with hopefully being able to continue his shooting improvement as the season goes along. But that's the great thing about this Grizzlies organization today, is that they were going to have potential players that they were going to have to face these type of decisions with down the road. Yet they were able to get them for under the market deals because they built a culture that these players are so proud to be a part of. And the other thing about it is this, is that obviously they're bargains because of the potential, you know, overall production names like Dillon and DeAnthony can, you know, offer. But they also become potential trade chips in the right deal, because you're getting maybe not necessarily as quality of a player as like a Luke Kennard or Derek White, but someone that could on most nights offer you 80 to 90% of the overall value of those players at nearly half the cost. And that's the great thing about it, is that if the Grizzlies discover their hierarchy, Desmond Bane takes a better than expected step, and the Grizzlies want to have as much cap space as possible to potentially add another superstar to John Jaren, then the way to do that is to potentially unload contracts. And for contenders or teams who need backcourt help, getting a guy like Dillon Brooks, getting a guy like DeAnthony Melton on their contracts, all of a sudden becomes very attractive with the level of money that's been committed today. So it's a big, big feather in the cap for this Grizzlies front office, in that they set up so many ways in which these commitments that they made with their players to be so highly valuable. And over time, I don't necessarily want Dillon or DeAnthony to go anywhere, but they're either going to be bargains here or be a true difference-making addition to a trade that long-term can land the Grizzlies the assets that they need to truly stay on path towards contention. So, action-packed show today. It was a lot of fun talking about it. Talked about the preseason, how the roster might form itself over the first few games, and also just another example of how this Grizzlies front office is continuing to hit home run after home run. Again, don't forget, on Wednesday, we're going to have Jeff Garcia from Locked On Spurs. He's going to be joining us to do a season preview of the Grizzlies and Spurs. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats as they see, the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be glad that you went over and that you enjoyed it. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And until next time, have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.